The 2008 Summer Olympic Games get underway in just about a month, and on Sunday, President Bush confirmed and defended his decision to attend the opening ceremonies in Beijing. He said not going would be an affront to the Chinese people and would make it more difficult to speak with the Chinese leadership over human rights concerns. We are going to hear from three guests during this hour who have a different take on the decision, and we want to hear from you too. Do you support or oppose our president attending the start of the Beijing Olympics? I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 10 past 7 on this Wednesday, July the 9th. And we will start our conversation with Edward Friedman, a professor of political science at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. He is author of the book Asia's Giants, Comparing China and India. And he joins us by telephone. Good morning.
Morning, Joy. How are you?
I'm fine. Thanks a lot for being with us. Well, a lot of human rights advocates and other U.S. political leaders were urging President Bush not to attend the opening ceremonies. Help us understand why.
Well, I think they don't want him to attend because it is a fact that the Chinese regime is a rather repressive authoritarian regime. It has most recently, as everybody is aware, been carrying out a brutal and anti-religious policy in Tibet. It's been arresting NGO and civil society activists. There has been intensifying repression in China. I think some people thought that not going to the opening ceremony is a way of standing with the victims of the regime rather than the people who are doing the victimizing.
Yeah, so why do you think President Bush decided not to heed that advice?
Well, I think that the decision is really not a matter of good or bad. This is international politics, and it's simply a necessity. China is a great economic power. It has a lot of clout in the world. If you don't go, if you insult the regime, if you cause them problems, they will respond. They are a bully, and they use their clout all the time. American businesses in China competing with European business and Japanese business and so on, and they would be punished. And if you care about essentially the American economy, you're in a situation in dealing with a economic power with China, which you really aren't in a position to bully it in a way that you might with a smaller authoritarian regime, which doesn't have the clout that China has.
How might China use its clout to hurt the U.S. economically?
Well, let's give a simple example of clout it has recently exercised. Mm-hmm. As we all know, Chinese students go to all countries in the world. They actually bring with them their tuition money. China has the largest holding of foreign exchange in the world. Universities all around the world want that money. A university in Britain gave an honorary degree to the Dalai Lama. The Chinese government began a campaign saying, we're going to not send students to your university because you're insulting them, because they want to isolate the Dalai Lama and discredit the Dalai Lama. So they are interfering in the domestic affairs of democracies all the time with this clout. It's a tough game, and the only way to stand up to it is to hang together. If you're all alone one at a time, you get picked off. When the French President Sarkozy suggested he wasn't going to go, I thought it was rather laughable because of their economic interests he was going to end up going. And, of course, he is not only going, but he ended up sending an emissary to Beijing to apologize for having suggested that they weren't going to go. You just can't, as long as China is going, is the kind of country it is, a very successful economy, a bully with a lot of clout. In the international world, often an amoral world, you have to hold your nose and get along with them. Otherwise, it hurts you.
Yeah, but now isn't the Great Britain's Gordon Brown? He's not going to be attending.
Yes, but that's not because he's taking a moral stand. It's because the next Olympics is in London, and so he shows up at the closing ceremony.
Oh, that's just
is the rules of the game,
and so it's
really the same thing on the other. On the other end, you're not going to see, sadly, people taking moral stands. Now, that's not a reason that people in civil society shouldn't complain. It isn't a reason you shouldn't criticize the president. You don't want to abandon the people who are indeed the victims of the Chinese policy, but in unless the democracies will join together and all take a similar stand so they can't be picked off one at a time, you're going to find that instead you get a competition of courting the Chinese dictatorship. It's just an inevitability of the logic of the situation. So I think it's true that Mr. Bush will raise human rights questions when he sees the Chinese president, and if the Chinese president is smart, he'll actually respond and release a number of prisoners as soon as the Olympics are over. He won't do it during the Olympics, but Mr. Bush is not doing it for the human rights reasons that he announces. He's doing it much more for these far more material considerations.
We're talking about why President Bush is attending the opening ceremonies of the Beijing Olympic Games next month, despite calls from some for him to boycott them. What do you think? What questions do you have? 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, in Madison, 263-1890, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Our guest is Edward Friedman, professor of political science at UW-Madison, author of Asia's Giants, Comparing China and India. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 18 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Wednesday, July the 9th. I'm Joy Cardine. Happy to have you along. Hope you stay tuned. Coming up this afternoon, it's Talk of the Nation. Will China become the largest buyer of cars, and what would that mean for the rest of the world? China and cars on Talk of the Nation after 1 o'clock this afternoon. We're talking about China and the Olympics and President Bush's decision to attend the opening Olympic ceremonies in Beijing. Should he? Well, he's going to. We're talking about why he's making that decision and welcoming your thoughts and reactions at 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. The president says he's going because not going would be an affront to the Chinese people, and not going might make it more difficult to speak to the Chinese leadership about human rights concerns and the like. Our guest, Edward Friedman, a professor of political science at UW-Madison, says that President Bush has really no choice but to go, and we're talking about why. And again, welcoming your thoughts and questions. Let's go to the phones and take Mike in Appleton first. Hi, Mike, you're on the air.
Yeah, good morning. Yeah, I agree with the professor. I think China's a bully of every type, economic and otherwise. Perhaps the simple fact that there is a controversy of whether he go or not is shedding some light on the Chinese regime, probably to people who couldn't care less, but at least now they have to pay some attention to it. So in that sense, it's a good thing. I think he has no choice, at least the way things stand today.
Yeah. Is the attention over this a good thing?
Absolutely. I think Mike has it right on the head. The more people cry, if you don't want to leave victims alone. Victims hear that there are people around the world who care about them. There's nothing worse than leaving victims alone. And so the cry is indeed, I'm a member of almost any human rights group you want to name. I care very much about those kinds of things. On the other hand, since you're having a show later on today, on China to become the number one car purchaser in the world, which is going to occur. Chinese automobiles, you can't even get through streets in China anymore. And you have a competition there, VW, Toyota, GMC. GMC does very well inside of China. And that is a huge market. There's billions of dollars at the stake. The state has a large say in what happens inside of China. And GMC, the last thing it would need is to have, say, the heads of state of Germany and Japan show up and make the Chinese government happy, and then the American president show up. And you can be sure that, oh, my God, there'll be all sorts of problems and little delays in supply of this, that, or the other thing at your plant, and you'd pay a price. And, of course, they'd apologize, and they're not responsible, and, that's how the thing occurs. And so, as Mike says, they are a bully. The consequence, they have all these kinds of clouds. one shouldn't want this to be the way. And so you should be thinking about, hey, isn't there some way, let's say on the auto thing, for the U.S., Japan, and Germany to be cooperating so the communist dictatorship can't pick them off one at a time? Or Airbus versus Boeing, isn't there a way for the Europeans and Americans to cooperate so the Chinese can't play one off against the other all the time? But if you don't do that, if you don't have a larger level of political cooperation, and all these states are out there, one by themselves, having to care about their own economic concerns, and you can get each of them, Bush, Prime Minister of Japan, everybody, they'll all be showing up to protect their interests one at a time, and the Chinese dictatorship is the big winner.
Yeah. At this news conference on Sunday, President Bush warned that China must improve its record on human rights and religious freedom. However, he says he does not need to use the Olympics to express his concerns on those issues. When's he going to do that?
Well, I think I take him at his word that in a private meeting, mm-hmm. he will say politely something. He'll show up with a list. There's thousands of political prisons rotting in Chinese prisons. Hundreds of them, by the way, are Americans. And I'm sure he'll have a list of the ones which he would most like to see released as early as possible. And I would bet that the president of China will respond and say, in respect for your friendship, we will do our best to meet your requests. Of course, you'll understand that we can't do it during the Olympics. That would be an embarrassment. But as soon as the Olympics are over, I give you my word. And there'll be a payoff. It's a hostage kind of thing. And he will get some hostages freed because of the stand he took, and that's a good thing. But, of course, in the future, there'll be more hostages that way.
Mike in Milwaukee is with us now. Hi, Mike.
Good morning. I personally don't think it matters one iota whether President Bush goes or doesn't go to the Olympics, and this talk about human rights is just what it is, talk. I think President Bush is going to the Olympics to serve President Bush. I thought about this, and I thought, you know, when he is done being the president, he's going to go around making money, just like his father did. And he's going to China to further his relationship with the Chinese. So after he is done being the president, he'll be on friendly terms with the power brokers of China so that he can be a middleman and make deals and make money just like his old man.
Yeah. Mike, what about the other world leaders who are going? Are they doing the same thing?
The other leaders are pandering to the Chinese just like he is. I just finished reading an excellent book called The War for Wealth. And the Chinese are unquestionably winning the war for wealth, and they're winning by the facilitation of the Western leaders. Your guest is absolutely right. Unless these Western leaders stand together, the Chinese will just pick us off one by one and transfer our wealth as they have been so successfully doing. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Professor Friedman?
Well, I don't know what Mr. Bush will do in the future. The gentleman does refer to a trend which is real. Many of the officials who have served in the American government in dealing with China have, subsequent to their leaving office, been involved in so-called consulting firms and have made lots of money in the China trade. And there's a book by a fellow named Jim Mann called The China Fantasy, which I recommend to everybody, which makes the argument that it is in their heads as it comes to the end of their careers that this will be a way of making a lot of money in the future. I think that people at the same time give themselves good conscience while they're doing it and explain to themselves why it's necessary to do these kinds of things. But there's plenty of data on the side of the caller that is not just at the level of the president, but it is what lots of officials do.
You know, we're going to talk to a guest after the news, after 7:30, who is He's somewhat of an Olympic historian, and also, anyway, he doesn't think President Bush should go to these ceremonies, saying that in the past, no president, U.S. president, has gone to opening ceremonies at Olympics in other countries. I mean, he says that this is sort of a first. So, what isn't that kind of strange?
It's more than strange. It is a statement of how the Chinese, who complain that other people are politicizing the Olympics, are actually the ones who have politicized the Olympics. They created a political litmus test, and they had the political clout to deliver on their political litmus test. And it's very important not to fall for Chinese propaganda lines about how you shouldn't be the ones who are politicizing the Olympics, when it's quite obvious, as your statement just now points out, that they are been going out of their way to politicize the Olympics. The major purpose of the Olympics for the Chinese regime is to shore up the Chinese regime and show to the Chinese people how great their government is, how it can deliver these leaders, how it can get these leaders to bow down to them. It's to show the Chinese people the total power of the Chinese government. And as both of your callers have suggested, as long as each country among the democracies acts alone, the Chinese government is going to keep on winning in this kind of a way. There's almost nothing you can do about it. Once they set up that litmus test in these kinds of ways, they gotcha.
James in Green Bay, good morning.
Good morning. Yes. I just have a couple comments. And, you know, listening to the show, obviously, thank you for having the show and always doing a good job. You know, the one thing I'd like to say is you're sending, you know, the United States Olympic team there to China to compete in the games. So already we're not making a stand on whether we're going or not. So then to go to the ceremonies, you know, isn't it important for the, you know, the head of our country, you know, supposedly the head of, you know, the free world, isn't important then for him to be there and to represent the United States, whether it's in his interest to go there or whether it's, you know, for some other reasons or not? And then the other comment, you know, I'd like to make, I guess what I'm saying is, you know, you have your a whole Olympic team over there.
Yeah.
I think it's important for the head of our country, you know, to be honorable and go there, you know, if it's for nothing else, for them.
Thank you, James. We only have a minute before our news break. Professor Friedman, for a response.
Well, the big question which the caller raises is, so how come the Olympics is in Beijing? And the answer, again, is clout. China is a great sporting nation. It puts a lot of its economic wealth into athletics. It's probably going to win the most medals at this particular Olympics, and it was rewarded not for its human rights record, but because of its clout. It promised to do better on human rights and response, but of course the truth is it's going in the opposite direction, and we are trapped by that situation. As I said, it's just an inevitability and a given that Mr. Bush would go. If I were his advisor, I would have told him to go, too.
Yeah. Thank you so much for being with us. We heard from a guest in our last half hour who explained President Bush's decision to attend the opening ceremonies of the Beijing Olympics. And we will hear from two guests during this half hour who say the president is making a mistake or doing the right thing. And we will continue to wonder what you think. 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, in Madison, 263-1890, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Does it matter to you if President Bush attends the opening ceremonies of the Beijing Olympics? President Bush, while at the G8 conference over the weekend, said that he was going to attend, and he defended attending, saying that not attending would be an affront to the Chinese people and would make it more difficult to talk with the Chinese leadership. Do you buy that, or do you think he should stay away? A lot of human rights advocates think he should boycott the opening ceremonies. A lot of politicians, too, including a while back anyway, Barack Obama and John McCain both thought that President Bush should stay away. We welcome in two guests with different perspectives on this. We are happy to have with us David Walachinsky, the author of several books, including The 20th Century, History with the Boring Parts Left Out. His latest book, just published, is The Complete Book of the Olympics, 2008 edition. He joins us by telephone. Good morning.
Good morning to you.
Thanks for being back with us.
Thank you.
Also, Robert Vance is with us. He is a China-based freelance writer and teacher. He is the founder of TeachAbroadChina.com, which provides cultural information for news about China. He is also joining us from China. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy. Thanks for having me.
It's actually very late evening where you are now.
Yes, it is about 8:30 here in southern China.
Well, thanks a lot for joining us. Now, we did hear from a professor of political science at UW-Madison in our first half hour, who's an expert on China, saying that China is a bully, and there's plenty of reasons not to like what China's doing in terms of human rights, but that President Bush really didn't have any choice but to attend these opening ceremonies, given China's clout. David Walachinsky, why do you think President Bush made the wrong decision?
First of all, he will be the first U.S. president ever to attend a foreign Olympics. This has never happened before. And President Bush himself skipped the Athens Olympics. Of course, he did that because of the threat of protests against him. In fact, Colin Powell, a much less controversial figure than President Bush, had to cancel his trip to the Athens Olympics because of the threat of protests. Clearly, there's not going to be a similar situation in Beijing. I feel that, you know, given that this has never happened before, it's a painful time to have set a precedent. And I think that from the point of view of the Chinese Communist Party, as opposed to the Chinese people or China as a nation, from the point of view of the Chinese Communist Party, the purpose of the Olympics is to prove to the Chinese population that the outside world considers the CCP, the Communist Party, to be the legitimate leaders of China forever. And in that sense, I see President Bush as allowing himself to be a prop in a Chinese communist spectacle.
Yeah. And do you disagree with any of that, Robert Vance?
Well, I definitely agree with most of that. I think the Olympics have been definitely politicized here in China by the government. But as far as President Bush going to the Olympics, he did make a promise last year to Hu Jintao at a summit that he would be going. And he has said that he's going because he wants to support the athletes. He's going to support the American athletes. I agree that this is the first time he's setting a precedent, but it's also the first Olympics in China. And I feel like President Bush has had a very cordial relationship with Beijing during his tenure in office, and I don't think he really saw any reason to skip the ceremony.
Yeah, and David Walachinsky, not going, wouldn't that just tick off the Chinese government to our detriment?
Well, I would say that his mistake was agreeing to it in the first place. You know, President Bush, whatever one may think of him, is a man of his word. One might put it differently by saying he is stubborn. But, you know, having said it, you know, he just doesn't go back on things. And I don't know if he just didn't think it through or, you know, if he has other motives or if Hu Jintao, you know, threatened economic sanctions if he didn't come. I know that when the Chinese government was awarded the Olympics, they made it clear that they intended to get more foreign leaders on that platform at the opening ceremonies than had attended the Athens Olympics in 2004. It was like a challenge that they were going to do that. And for some reason, President Bush agreed to be part of that show.
Yeah, and Robert Vance, lots of world leaders will be in attendance, won't they?
Yes, they will, although there are a couple important leaders who will not be in attendance. But I think, for example, in the case of Germany and France, I'm sorry, France is coming, but in the case of Germany, I think that decision was made kind of in the heat of the moment. I mean, shortly after the uprisings in Tibet, President Bush obviously chose to sort of withhold his decision. He wanted to wait, I think, to see how things would calm down in Tibet, what further measures the government was going to take. And I think at this point, there hasn't been, as far as we know, any further escalation of the violence in Tibet. And because of that, I think President Bush feels pretty comfortable in going.
David?
Again, I excuse me for being cynical, but I've been to China. This will be my ninth trip to China, going to these games, and I have covered live for American radio every opening ceremony since 1988. And as a sportscaster, calling an open ceremony is kind of a challenge because it's not really a sporting event. So I really love opening ceremonies, and I just I think looking at the history of opening ceremonies, it's really odd for foreign leaders to come at all. I mean, you really, for example, in 2000 when the games were held in Sydney, Australia. Very few people showed up there. I mean, leaders and, the Australians weren't offended. Nobody was offended. It's just not something that was done. A lot of leaders showed up in Athens, first of all, because it was easily accessible in Europe, and also because it was like the coming home of the Olympics. It was kind of a special Olympics. And so the fact that this has even become an issue is, to me, and as an Olympic historian, really bizarre.
Yeah. We have some callers. Let me... Welcome, Steve, in Houston, Texas. Hi, you're on the air.
Yeah, good morning. Thank you, Ellen, for this show. Yeah, I agree with David, wholeheartedly. I think that the president made this decision. He can't back out of it, but it was clearly, I believe, the wrong decision, especially considering the history of China, since over 100 million people have died under Chinese communism since Mao Zedong's little revolution of blood. And, they use tanks to plow down their students who protest. They run a lot of their industries run like prison labor camps. That's been documented. And here we have our president going and leaders going, saying what a great nation China is. And I think, David, you alluded to the fact that there's some other reason why the president went. And I would say the fact is that China really has a noose around this country, and they can open the door on that trap. And that is the amount of our debt that they owe this country. They own this country, essentially. They could devastate this country. They could destroy this country through economic measures, through our currency, if they so choose. And I think that the president was probably given an ultimatum: if you don't come, even if they start adjusting the yuan, I deal with Chinese products in my business, it could have devastating effects. I mean, you can't go anywhere and buy anything that's not made in China without having to hunt all day and all night, quite frankly.
Now, let me, Steve, I'm sorry, let me get David to respond to your views before we have a weather break. David?
Well, sad to say, I think he's absolutely right. Mm-hmm. We don't really know, what went on in conversation between Hu Jintao and George Bush, but it's true that both the Bush administration and the Clinton administration before it and before that have really allowed our country to become dependent on China. Our debt to China is currently at $400 billion, and I can tell you I have family members who lost their lifetime jobs because of factories shut down and moved to China. I've seen it with my own eyes.
Yeah. Do you have anything to add briefly, Robert?
Well, just real quickly, I mean, I definitely agree with the caller that human rights in China is a huge issue, the fact that so many people have died. And I write about human rights all the time. I think we need to keep the pressure on Beijing. But look, I mean, some of these same people that are criticizing Bush now were criticizing President Clinton back in 97 when he renewed China's most favored nation status. I mean, there were Christians, Tibet activists, everyone was up in arms about that. But it's this foreign policy that Bush is adhering to, one which has been around for a long time in Washington. If you want to promote change in China, you've got to keep your foot in the door. And that's exactly what Washington has done over the past 30-odd years.
We'll take more calls for both of our guests coming up after this weather break, 1-800-642-1234. in Madison, 263-1890. Our guests have differing viewpoints on President Bush's decision to attend the opening Olympic ceremonies in Beijing. What's your viewpoint? It's 12 minutes before 8 o'clock on this Wednesday, July the 9th. Coming up after 8 o'clock, we'll talk with a guest about the hidden costs of our addiction to oil. Not only is it a pain at the pump, our guest will say, there are all sorts of other costs associated with our addiction to oil. How to wean ourselves off oil, too, is our topic after 8 o'clock. Right now, we're talking about the Olympics and President Bush deciding and defending his decision to attend the opening ceremonies in Beijing next month. Talking with two guests who either support or oppose the president's decision to attend the ceremonies. Robert Vance is a China-based freelance writer and teacher. He is founder of TeachAbroadChina.com, which provides cultural information for expatriates and commentary on current news in China. He supports the president's decision to attend the opening ceremonies. Also joining us, David Walachinsky, author or co-author of several books, including The 20th Century, History with the Boring Parts Left Out, and his latest book just published is The Complete Book of the Olympics, 2008 edition. He says President Bush would be better off, or we would be better off, if, and China would be better off if he would stay home. He shouldn't be attending the ceremonies. Our next caller is Phil in Oconomowoc. Hi, Phil. You're on the air.
Hi. I had a question. I guess I'm not terribly familiar with the politics of the Olympics, but I'm wondering why countries' leaders seem to be proposing to boycott the opening ceremony, but no one's talking about boycotting the Olympics. As a whole, it just seems like a half solution.
David, what about that?
Well, the Olympics has had several boycotts. I mean, a lot of people don't realize it, but the first boycotts were in 1956, and then there was a series of boycotts, African boycott in 1976, the U.S.-led boycott in 1980, and the Soviet Union revenge boycott in 84. Those are the major ones. And I think that a lot of people have just concluded that you're just punishing the athletes, and you know the athletes haven't done anything wrong, and this is the wrong way to deal with it. I think personally that the International Olympic Committee made a great mistake by awarding the games to China. The last time a dictatorship hosted the Summer Olympics was in 1980 in Moscow, and I would have thought that after a couple of decades, the lesson would have been learned that we didn't have to return to that, particularly when we have something like 120 democracies in the world. Mm-hmm. Having made that mistake, it doesn't seem right to me to punish the athletes. And in fact, if you want to change the way the Chinese government works, I would say that long-term economic pressure is the only way that it's really going to work. Boycotting the Olympics isn't going to do it.
Yeah. Robert, you would agree?
Well, I would definitely agree that with the statement about the opening ceremony, I think the opening ceremony is definitely different than the rest of the games. It's the time when everyone's together. Mm-hmm. It's the ushering in of the Olympics, just like the closing ceremony. So I think that's more of a politically charged time, if there is any such thing during the Olympics. But again, just getting back to Bush, whether or not he should go to Beijing. I agree with the call you had earlier, who talked about the American athletes. I mean, they are going. If Washington wanted to send such a strong signal to Beijing, they would completely boycott the Olympics, and that's just not going to happen.
Yeah.
Could I make one point about the opening ceremony?
Sure.
From the history of the Olympics? What I find a little uncomfortable about these particular opening ceremonies, of course, I expect a beautiful spectacle, by the way, mm-hmm. but from the point of view of propaganda, it's disturbingly similar to the situation in 1936 when the games were in Berlin, and Adolf Hitler and the Nazis realized that this was an opportunity to show off. And again, it was not so much that they bludgeoned people with a Nazi ideology, not at all, but that they brought the world to them. Nobody boycotted, nobody objected. And that was a real message from the Nazis to the German people. You see, we're legitimate. And I worry that this is, again, what's happening now, 72 years later, is that the Chinese only 5% of the Chinese people are members of the Communist Party. 95% are not. And this is an attempt of that 5% to prove, so-called prove to the other 95% that the Chinese Communist Party is recognized by the rest of the world.
Dick in Lakewood, hi, you're on the air.
Thank you. Your guests have already basically answered my question. What has history told us from past experiences of boycotts as to whether or not the boycotts really accomplish anything? I think the original idea of the Olympics is that it was beyond politics, it was beyond economics, it was just the pureness of the games. So let's favor the athletes, let's hold the games, and do our best to keep the politics out of it. Although in this day and age, it's extremely difficult.
Yeah, Dick, since we really aren't talking about the athletes boycotting the games, this is about whether President Bush should attend the opening ceremonies. Do you have any thoughts on that?
Okay, well, I actually was kind of putting President Bush and the athletes all in one group there when I mentioned the athletes. I think you should have gone, or in some cases, if you could have seen what was happening now, I think you should have stayed away. But he had committed himself, and basically our word isn't worth a lot in a lot of part of the country or part of the world. So in a way, he's basically saying, yes, our word is worth something. I said I was going to come. I'm going to come.
Yeah. David?
Well, I, as I was saying, I would separate, the Chinese Communist Party from the Chinese people. Again, I've visited many times, and I wouldn't have visited China 9 times if I wasn't fascinated by the culture and the people, but I feel the party is different from the people, and I feel, to a great extent, the same holds for the United States. I mean, President Bush is not the most popular president in history, quite the opposite. And I would hope that the people in the rest of the world would not judge us, the American people, by President Bush and his actions.
Yeah. And Robert, the president says not attending would be an affront to the Chinese people. Is it your sense that if the president didn't attend, the Chinese people would be insulted?
Well, definitely, and I have to agree with what David just said. I've been surprised, actually, recently with the announcement that he's going to the Olympics. People are very happy about that. David's right, President Bush is not popular here. Iraq has made it that way, like most of the other countries in the world. But people are happy that he's coming, and I think it's because many Chinese people see President Bush as an extension of America. I mean, if he's coming to the opening ceremonies, then people here have this assumption that the American people support China's right to host the events, and that may or may not be true. About what the American people think, but I do think that the Chinese people do care. The people care about what America does in this situation, and I think that having Bush at the opening ceremony will be an encouragement for the people.
Yeah. And David, wouldn't President Bush be in a better position to, as he put it, speak frankly with the Chinese leadership about these human rights concerns if he would go to these ceremonies rather than snub them?
Well, first of all, by not attending, by not saying he would attend, he would not have been snubbing them, since no American president has ever attended the Olympics before outside the U.S., so that would not have been a snub. And second of all, he's had plenty of opportunities to talk to Hu Jintao about human rights. He's met with him several times, and he doesn't need one more time to do it. He meets with him at summits all the time.
Yeah. Well, we're out of time, so we'll have to leave it there. I want to thank both of you, David Walachinsky and Robert Vance, for being with us. Robert Vance, a China-based freelance writer and teacher, founder of teacherbroadchina.com. and David Walachinsky, author of many books, including The Complete Book of the Olympics, the 2008 edition. By the way, Barack Obama in the news saying that if he were president, he would not attend the opening ceremonies at the Beijing Olympics unless he saw some progress between the Chinese government and the Dalai Lama. Republican candidate John McCain has said in the past that if he were president, he would only attend the opening ceremonies if China improved its record on human rights and other issues. President Bush will be attending the opening ceremonies in Beijing next month. Thanks to Karen Prager and Cynthia Schuster for producing this hour. Thank you for listening and for calling in. I hope you stay tuned. There's much more to come. If you'd like a CD copy of this or any of our talk shows, call the radio store, 1-800-747-7444. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.